We're looking at type number 5 this morning. Remember we said that there are three ways. There are many three ways, but we're looking at the three ways of meeting the world, the three centers, as the Enneagram describes it. Some of us are centered in the head, some of us in the heart with feelings, and some of us in the gut kind of instincts. And that's how we kind of meet the world and respond to what's going on around us. So if you are an 8, 9, or a 1, which we will get to at the end of the class sessions, you are body type, you're instinctive, you operate from the gut. If you're a 2, 3, and 4, whom we have already kind of looked at and gone over, you're in the heart center, and you operate out of your feelings. And if you are in the head center, 5, 6, or 7, you are thinkers, and that's what we're starting today. So we said that, and we'll get to the concern for the gut folks, is autonomy. We saw that all of the feeling centers were looking for attention, doing it in various ways, or actually trying to stay away from attention because they wanted it so badly. It's kind of like, you know, converse going on. Now we're in the head center, and security is the order of the day. For the 5s, the 6s, and the 7s, their need for security is their primary motivator. They do it in different ways, they seek it in different ways, they respond differently. But all of them respond out of their head and look for security. And we said that we have arrows and we have wings, and so obviously the 5s, wings, are the 4 and the 6. So if you decide you are a 5, you may have thought that, gee, I have a lot of characteristics with a 4 last week, but not all of them. Well, that might mean you're a 5 with a 4 wing. Or you may say, yeah, I'm a 5, today may prove it. You know, you may get that squirmy feeling that, oh, I think she's talking about me. But then some of it doesn't fit, but next week when you learn, or 2 weeks from now when we learn about the 6, you may say, oh, that's the missing piece, I have some of those characteristics as well. You also know if you're a 5 that you go to the 7 when you are in stress, and the 8 comes to you when you are doing well. Okay? So here we go. Type 5 is sometimes called the wise person or the observer, the thinker. Can't you see that statue of the thinker, you know, with a fist in his head there? The curious, the listener, the quiet one, the knowledgeable one. And a phrase that might be appropriate, I don't need much, but I need my space. And Oscar the Grouch, you know, he's always going into his little trash can to be alone and get away from all those annoying people who want something of him. The perfect 5. So, the wise person, the knowledgeable one, type 5, when a 5 is operating at a high level, healthily, they are thoughtful and objective, they value truth, and 5s have a natural ability to analyze the essence of things and also synthesize the big picture. Okay, they can get at what's really happening, and they can help see the totality of what's happening. They want to understand the world and make it a more enlightened place. Okay? Knowledge is key for the 5. When a 5 is not as resourceful, when a 5 is operating at a lower level of emotional health, they can become overly intellectual and out of touch with their feelings. Remember, they're a head person. So in operating out of their head, they may forget to listen to their heart and stay up there in their head all the time. They may overly withdraw from the world, from relationships, and try to be self-sufficient in order to protect themselves. Remember, security is key for these three types in the thinking center. In order to protect themselves from the perceived withholding or intrusion of others. So Oscar the Grouch doesn't want anybody to intrude on him, nor does he want to deal with anybody that withholds from him. Okay, So it's not safe out there in the world. I'm going to stay in my head. At their best, fives are analytical and sensitive and wise. They're objective, perceptive, curious, observant, and insightful. It's a wonderful number to be. Of course, all numbers are wonderful numbers to be when we're operating at a healthy level. At their worst, when they're troubled, when stress happens, fives can become intellectually arrogant. I know more than you do, and I'm not telling what I know. Stingy, distant, critical of others, unassertive, cynical, isolated, and relationally distant, withholding themselves. These are one of the withdrawing types, and they tend to stay away from relationships and distance themselves whenever they're feeling insecure. They get away from you, and they pull into their head. If you've ever been married to or had to deal with a five who does that, you know how frustrating it can be when you want to talk about feelings and they don't want any part of that, right? For a five, their core belief is that there's no room for me. I'm on my own. I don't fit anywhere, and I just have to be by myself. Their core coping strategy, therefore, is to be self-sufficient. Okay, I can make it on my own. I don't need anybody else. I'll minimize my hassles. I'll get small. I'll be unnoticeable. Nobody will even remember that I was there. And that's a good thing, because it's safe. Their core fear is of being depleted or devoured. If I share what I know, then everybody else will know, and then I won't be special anymore. So I don't want to share myself with others. And their core desire, what they really want, is to perceive and know more. Fives are never satisfied that they know enough. They always want to know more. God gives the five the gift of wisdom and truth. These are folks who can come up with wonderful new insights into life. However, when they're operating in their shadow side, the stinginess or avarice of wanting to hold on to the knowledge comes forward. It's kind of a hoarding, but it's not necessarily a hoarding of stuff that fills up a garage because you can't get rid of it. It's often a hoarding of what I know and not sharing it with other people. They will avoid looking foolish or uninformed as best they can. So if a five doesn't think they know enough about a subject, they will not enter the conversation because they don't want to seem uninformed. They want to seem like an expert, and they have to be an expert on anything and everything that they might talk about or engage in. And their inner critic is always telling them, you're only a good person if you can master something. Whatever that something is, you've got to know it and know it better than anybody else. And for a five to grow and transform themselves, they need to develop their generosity and their sense of community. They need to get out of themselves and be with people. I see a couple of people nodding their heads. Are you thinking of someone who is a five, or are you wanting to share what's coming out for you?
I don't know enough yet.
You don't know enough yet? Okay. Could be that you're a five. You probably won't know enough at the end of this class either. Shouldn't pick on Sam. Sorry, Sam. But if you're a true five, this class won't do it for you. It'll be like, oh no, I need to read more. And there's lots of books. What you miss when you're a five is the joy and fulfillment of giving and being involved in life, because you're isolating yourself, and so you're not getting that.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
There's a lot about this that in leadership, there are a lot of people who have a lot of expertise mm-hmm. and knowledge. Mm-hmm. And there are some people who hoard it mm-hmm. for power, and there are some people who give it away and get even more power.
Yes.
So can a healthy five be a giver away of their knowledge?
Absolutely.
So they don't have to hoard it.
No, they don't have to. When they're not healthy, They're hoarding it.
Okay.
But right. When they're healthy, yes. They're not only giving it away, but they're also able to acknowledge that someone else might know more than I do. And enjoy that when they're healthy.
Okay?
But it's that when that passion of avarice gets them, because they're fearful that they're not enough, then that's when it kicks in to hide and hoard. So they miss the fun and excitement of being in the game, because they won't get in the game unless they know all the rules of the game. They can't admit ignorance of anything. Instead of being on the sideline, they're always on the sideline if they're unhealthy. The experience of trust and cooperation is missing for a five who is not whole and not operating on all circuits. Because they're going it alone and they don't have self-confidence. So their passion is avarice, withholding, stinginess, and their defense mechanism is isolation. Their wounded childhood message could have been that it's not okay to be comfortable in the world. Remember, they have fear and they're wanting security. And so being in the world isn't comfortable, isn't a good place to be. I need to be isolated and alone. And the message they need to hear is that your needs are not a problem. It's okay. It's okay to be who you are. And God invites them to be free from the fear of scarcity and not having all they need to survive. Trust me, God says, you will not run out. I will give you all you need. Make any sense? Questions? Okay. So, in general, fives are mentally curious, even intense. Fives have a great thirst for knowledge and want to deeply understand. It's a good thing, right? To love knowledge and want to learn. These are the born students, right? The professional schoolgoer. Fives are extremely independent, self-reliant, self-sufficient, and private. And that's okay. If it's taken to an extreme, it might not be, but it's okay to be independent. It's okay to be self-reliant to a degree. It's okay to be private to a degree. You don't have to be an unhealthy four and let it all flow out all the time because you're all emotional, but the opposite of that, withholding it, can also be a problem. Fives generally need lots of freedom and personal space to pursue their own interests. If you know someone who really worries about their personal space and doesn't like it invaded, feels uncomfortable if people get even too close physically, that might be a five. Fives hate to feel overwhelmed by other people's emotions, and may be extremely career-oriented to avoid relating emotionally. They're individualistic and have little concern for societal pressures or material possessions. They're not playing that society game, okay? Fives are often people who like computer games and can sit in front of a computer or their phone with an app and be with it all the time. Partly because it keeps them from having to relate to the outside world. Fives feel most alive when they are getting new insights into some complex problem. The great thinkers of the world, right, were probably fives because they were always interested in seeing what could be seen, right, and in learning more. So the Socrates and the Aristotles and the Einsteins and all of those people who have given us so much in the way of what they think, Thomas Aquinas and all the great thinkers may very well have had a very strong five tendency. You might be a five if you are highly protective of your time. If you prepare a long time before starting a project, you can't start until you're sure you know all about it. No, I want to do that, but I got to take another class first. I'd like to start that project, but let me read one more book about it. I'd like to teach the Enneagram, but let me read five more books about what the Enneagram is to make sure I know more than everybody in the class, because if I don't, then I'll look stupid, right? I'm not a five, I don't think, but there could be. Are curious about the why of everything, always asking why, always wanting to go deeper, always wanting to know more. Like to observe rather than engage. They withhold. They like to be on the outside looking in. They prefer concepts and ideas to experiences. They'd rather think about it than actually do it. Let other people do it. I just want to think about it. They're more rational than relational. You might be a five if you tend towards asceticism and contemplation. If you don't need a lot of stuff and you can spend long periods of time in silence, fives would go on a week-long retreat of silence, okay? Other numbers, as we've seen, would never do that. You might be a five if you intellectualize to avoid your emotions. If you're a private person who lets few people in, and if you question your competence and always feel inadequate to the task, so you always need to learn a little more, get another degree, whatever it might be. Fives would never dream of missing an opportunity to show what they know. When a five wants to share, it can be wonderful, or it also can be like, will this person ever stop talking? This is the professor who talks way above the students' heads, but talks for the full 90 minutes of the class, and the kids walk out or the students walk out like, whoa, I couldn't even get it all down. Not really aware that they're not relating to their listener, but just loving to give out all they know. They're not being stingy then, but they're definitely being a five. Fives would never throw a big party. And probably would rather not go to one. Fives would never want to be a salesperson because you have to be too gregarious and too into people's lives to do that. Five would never dream of spending time with others without a minute to themselves. They would rather spend all the time with themselves than leave a minute for others. Because fives have some of these issues, they subconsciously think that people are invasive and that they demand too much. They think that it's best to need little so I'm not dependent on anyone. If I don't need anything, then I don't need people to give it to me. I can just be all on my own. I'm on my own in the world, separate from the environment. I'm an outside observer. Subconsciously, fives think that they cannot allow themselves to fully feel any emotions because that's too unpredictable. So they stay, like I said, in their head. They don't want to emote. Because once you do that, you make yourself, vulnerable and open to others, and that's scary, and that's not self-sufficient, so they pull that back. Subconsciously, fives believe that knowledge is what will keep them safe. So their security comes from knowing. To be loved, I must demonstrate my competence and knowledge. That's what will get people to like me. If they think I'm smart, if they think I know a lot, then I'll be okay. Questions? Thoughts? Ideas? Got somebody in mind? Yes.
So,
okay.
and what I will say is that five, and I know a few other five, two, five, tend to be very so they're keeping a really strong veneer. But their fear is that once you crack that, yeah, they're not going to be able to stop that emotion.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So they may be one to crack that and seem very emotional in their unhealthy state.
Yeah, and that could be a five.
You never see emotion.
Right. But then it'll get pulled back quickly because it's not safe. And, how could I have let that out? And probably ruminate for a long time over why did I do that? What kind of a fool did I make of myself? Well, how could I let that happen? Because that's so unlike what they want to be. And I'm thinking that may be a five more with a four wing because of that emotional aspect of the four coming out there.
Yes. They want to be an expert on things, and when they talk, they want people to know they know about the matter and that they're smart. Isn't that everybody? I mean, people don't like to speak up and talk about stuff if they don't know about it. Isn't that just
you know, we think that. Remember when we had on? I'm not saying that you're a five, but when we live in our lens, we think everybody else is just like us. And one of the things the Enneagram teaches us is that that's not the case. That there are people who don't mind just talking and throwing out stuff and not having a clue what they're talking about and just, laying it out there. Okay? They don't care.
Yep.
So, yes, those of us who would not dare show, those withdrawn ones, who would not dare want to show ourselves out to people, okay, can't understand how somebody else would act that way. But when we get to a seven, who's also in the thinking, we'll see someone who is much more likely to be all out there, the life of the party, and just doing whatever. And fives will look at that and say, oh my gosh, how can they do that? So no, not everybody cares if they know everything. And I think your laughter tells me all people, we all know people who just spew out stuff and don't have a clue what they're talking about, liberty.
I'm just thinking about the word performance. And with the caveat that we're not supposed to try to decide what somebody else is,
yes.
I'm thinking of someone who I don't think I know. And it just dawned on me that the reason, perhaps, that he basically shows off his knowledge, which is really vast, he's just brilliant, and he's quite interesting, is that it keeps him safe. I never thought of that way, and that performing is so different from a forced performing.
Oh, yes.
Which is also a kind of performance.
Yes,
you know, too.
Yes. Yes, it's very interesting, but yes, it's two people may act the same way, but their motivation is what makes the difference. And a five is not motivated by the same thing that a four is, because a five's up here and a four is in here, right? And a five is just wants to show what they know. I saw him in Roman.
If there are people, I happen to know one, who are very smart and very knowledgeable and confident at certain things, but he thinks he knows everything about everything.
Yes.
And he's really wrong about something. I have given up with saying, I don't think he's talking. But there is that thing, you know, feeling that I'm speaking to the lane, thinking, okay, doesn't hesitate to be an expert on every topic.
Mm-hmm.
Will not let a topic go by without throwing in the knowledge.
And he may really believe, he could be a five, because he may really believe that he has researched all those subjects because he's read an article. He Googled it, and this is what it said, so now he knows it. So he may not be as stingy, you know, he may have a four wing and not be so stingy, but, you know.
He may not Google, but he would tell you he has read a book.
But you know he has to be heady, and you know that he has to be knowledgeable.
And so it's not worth...
No, it's not. No, because you won't win. You won't win. Paul had a question, then I'll come back to
you. Now he says he doesn't really want to say it. He's a
five. Wives always tell of their husbands. I'm so surprised, Paul.
So we're looking for information. So that's why, at least I find sometimes small talk is hard to do, because you're looking for a piece of information, not stuff you already know.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah, and why engage in small talk? It's a waste of time. Let's get to the point. Let's get to something important. Cocktail parties are a waste of time, because all you do is walk around and say hi to people and talk about nothing, right? So it's a waste.
True, but you have a glass in your hand of food.
This is true. So those two things make up for it.
It's kind of funny because, like Zach was saying, it's like when someone who often enough I can see this, their security is knowing everything, and if they don't know things, they're not allowing themselves to be open and vulnerable to learn new things, but they. That's part of the security. I have to know everything about everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if I don't, I'll make it up.
Right.
Or I'll retreat and not have anything to do with anybody. So maybe it's at least better that he's not going off into, you know, retreat. So at least he's out there talking. Yes.
Well, I'm feeling like Linda's example is not a lie.
Maybe. Again, we can't tell what the motivation is.
I'm going to stay quiet until I know everything about this. Well, that doesn't sound like, you know. So what does it sound like?
It sounds like a five to me, because remember, we're giving, you got to have room for the wings, you got to have room for the places they go in stress and in and in integration, and we're not, whenever I give this, it's very much of a generalization.
This is hard.
It is hard.
Everybody's
it is
crossing
hard.
Over into everybody
yes.
else.
Yes. But we have to get to motivation, and if his motivation is what Bill said, that he needs security, and he finds security in knowing things. And letting other people know that he knows.
To make him look like he's
yes.
telling
then he
him.
Could still be a five because he's up here. Or he could be something else with a five wing, maybe a six, and we get to the six in a couple weeks. But if knowledge is where he goes in order to feel okay about himself, and that may be, in his case, perceived knowledge.
Fake then knowledge.
Fake knowledge, yes. Fake news, fake knowledge, yes.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Then he could be a five wing, but remember, we don't know what that motivation is for him. And we can't know. He'd have to tell us. And he probably can't tell us until he gets more secure in who he is to know that it's okay not to know.
So are you saying that we're never going to know what a person is until they become enlightened enough to figure it out for themselves and share that with us?
Yes, we would not. Yes, I would say that you can't type someone else
Reliably.
Because the problem is you can observe behaviors, you can never understand motivation.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right, yeah, because the same two people have the same behaviors.
Take the test.
They might not want to take a test if they're five, because they might not know everything on the test.
That might be a problem.
Well, and we're talking about pretty unhealthy fives when we do these characteristics. There are wonderful people who are really healthy and integrated fives who are very helpful and wonderful in the world, and we need them. You know, organizations need them. Somebody has to know something, right? If you're going to move forward in an organization, somebody better know the facts. Somebody better care enough to do the research. You need fives in this world. You need fives on your team and work. You need fives in the church. Somebody has to look at the theology. We can't all just do what we feel like, right? We've got to have somebody doing theology.
Would this much concern about information become a good leader?
They could if they can get out of the need for that security. If they can be well integrated, they could be a great leader. You know, yeah, absolutely. Tend to not become that because they're more introverted and more withdrawn. But they can be a very valuable member of a team.
Yeah.
Okay. And if they come up with some new insight, like Einstein, then, you know, they get noticed for that. But I don't know that he was a team leader or the president of a company. I think he was maybe more immersed in his thoughts and coming up with new ideas.
Yeah. Well, five integrated ideas.
Yes.
Yes. Great.
Yes.
But what I was going to say is sometimes eight just can relate
to fives.
So eight can be very much what you were describing of have to have the four constantly and
Yeah.
So I have those eight, but this five.
Good point. Yes. Yes. So when we get to eight, maybe you'll say, oh, that's who he is. Yeah. But we don't want to type other people. But it does help if we can say, like you said, Liberty, now I understand why this person might be acting the way they are, because then maybe we can understand better, cut them a little slack, and maybe get along better because we know where they're coming from.
So one great team building exercise is to have a team do this, or StrengthsFinders or some thing, so that other people on the team can go, well, you act just like me, but now I know your motivation is completely different than mine. Mm-hmm. So when I talk to you, I need to speak your language instead of always speaking my language and assuming that you feel the same way about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a powerful way to do this, is to do it together and discuss it together so you understand each other, not so you can thank each other.
Yeah. In a couple of weeks, I'm going to go down to my daughter's basketball team. She coaches varsity girls basketball, and she wants me to teach them the Enneagram so they'll understand each other a little bit. Now I'm going to try to do this in 2.5 hours to teenagers. So it's going to be a real, you know, overview, but we'll have some fun, and hopefully maybe they'll see something. You know, did you have your hand up again, Paul? No? I thought I saw your hand in the other corner.
Oh, I did. I did take the test happily. five was my top by one point.
Uh-huh.
And there's several others that fall very close. So it doesn't tell you who you are until you really go through this, but it helps you focus, because I know what my lowest ones are, and I'm definitely not. So you kind of look in those ones where you've got the high scores. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned there is a woman who had, I think her last name is Favre, F-A-U-V-R-E. I can't think of her first name right now. Right. But she has developed the tri-type Enneagram. So she believes that we have one strength, let's say five, in the thinking center, but you also have a second and third strength close in each of the other two centers. So we're not one-dimensional in that way. So you might be a five, but you might have a really strong two that comes up, you know, as a secondary or a tertiary strength for you that you can access when you're being 2-5. So again, this is complicated, but it has to be because people are complicated, right? We're just trying to get a picture, an overview, an understanding of how we operate so we can make choices and not be slaves to our egos, okay? Because when the ego is operating, that's when we're unhealthy. And we want to be able to open that up and say, oh, there I go again. Let me choose to be something different, try it out, take a risk, and grow from it. So that's, you know, we're not trying to pigeonhole people, we're trying to open ourselves up and get rid of some of that ego stuff that may be cramping our style.
Where's a good place to go to take that test and figure out what you're talking about?
Before I leave here, I'm going to find it on the internet. It's on the internet, and it's easy to access, and it's free. I love free tests. It's free. You don't have to pay money. So it's pictures. You pick pictures, a lot of it. So it's kind of fun to take. Yeah. So I'll get it for you. Okay. So we talk about the levels of development, and these are the nine levels for a five, going from being a pioneering visionary all the way down to an empty schizoid. Very hard. Well, yeah, you know, but there are people. Okay, so healthy fives, we've said a lot of this already. Extraordinarily observant, perceptive, insightful, open-minded. They're the most mentally curious, analytical, and logical of all the Enneagram types. They love learning all kinds of information and often become knowledgeable experts in their chosen field. Can ask lots of questions when interested in a subject. See, then, if you're healthy, you're not afraid to not know, but you're always seeking knowledge, and you can seek knowledge from other people who might know more than you. You don't have to withdraw. So that, you know, healthy fives are inquisitive. Can pay great attention to craftsmanship and detail. These just aren't intellectuals in the sense of being real smart. These also may be people who are very detail-oriented in a craft. Okay, they may not have a college education. You don't have to be that kind of heady to be a five. Okay, they often are, but that doesn't mean someone who doesn't even graduate from high school couldn't be a five. Okay, let's not limit ourselves to just PhDs here. Have probing minds that tend to see things on a deeper level than the average person. Innovative, inventive, creative. Developing new ways of seeing or doing things. Healthy fives value their independence highly, but they also enjoy sharing their findings, observations, and insights with others. Not stingy, okay? They overcome that stinginess. They often make great teachers, like I said, as long as they don't talk over everybody's head. As long as they can see and notice that I'm not getting through. See the blank stares in the room, okay? A healthy five will do that. They can often have a dry and a whimsical sense of humor. Average fives, the majority of fives, lose confidence in their ability to successfully engage with the world, and so they retreat into the safety of their minds, become less social and more detached, can be quite intense and high-strung. They focus exclusively on their projects, or they read all the time, or they play on their computer for hours and hours because that helps them not engage. Can be perpetual students because they love learning, but they never feel they've quite learned enough. So one more course and I'll be an expert. Nope, one more. Can put all their energy into becoming competent and capable in one area of life at the expense of all the other areas. They may hoard, not stuff so much, but their time, their space, and their energy, ignoring their health and ignoring relationships. Sometimes they feel that relationships are more trouble than they're worth because people are too needy, emotional, and intrusive. So they just as soon not get involved. Richard Rohr, who does a lot of work on the Enneagram, he's a Franciscan Catholic priest, says that fives make great celibates. And he thinks there's a lot of fives in the priesthood and nuns because they don't want or need that emotional intensity and intimacy because they would just rather be alone. So I don't know if he's right or not, but he's one of them, so maybe he knows. They can be secretive and private, often loners. They can be drawn to abstruse and sometimes dark or disconcerting subject matter. Some young people I know who are into the computer a lot and play some of these dark games and get into some really dark thinking and are always reading kind of dark stuff may have a five tendency that may be getting out of line, may be getting out of whack, may need some redirection. Because I counseled one young man who was I'm pretty sure he was a five. He was great in school. He had all A's, and he was really looking to be great and go somewhere. And then now he was 30. He was still living at home. He had no job. And he spent all of his time on the computer in this virtual world. And every one of his friends, best friends, were people he had never met and who just were friends on the internet. And he had no really close personal ties to anyone. Didn't get along very well with his family. But very heady. Everything was up here in his head. And he wasn't so much looking for knowledge, but he was certainly looking to be alone and in his own little world. Can begin to get lost in alternate realities, imaginary worlds, fear being overwhelmed by people and their needs. Now, when we get down to those last three levels, fives can become reclusive as their anxiety and insecurity increases. They may cut themselves off totally from the real world and people. They may become provocative and antagonistic to keep people away. They're going to create that personal space by being negative so that no one will want to be with them. They may jump to conclusions and distort the facts with their own twisted interpretations. They're lost in their head at this point. Okay, they're lost in this brain that's swirling. Can be iconoclastic and enjoy making extreme remarks just to shock people or to provoke a reaction out of them. Remember, that's destructive thoughts, right? So. They can be intellectually arrogant as a defense to feel better about themselves. I know more than you do. Let me show you all I know. They can be cynical, argumentative, and enjoy debunking others' beliefs. People some fives become atheist because they can't reason to God and prove it, and so they decide God doesn't exist. They're not satisfied with just feeling that for themselves. They have to go out and tell everybody they know who has faith how stupid they are or why they're wrong or how they shouldn't believe because it doesn't make any sense. Doesn't compute in their brain. So you may have known someone like that who just always had to tell you that you were wrong to have beliefs. They often succeed in driving everyone out of their lives and become more fearful and strange in the process.
We did this one already.
No, we didn't. Okay, so if you're a five and you're trying to cope with life, you're going to seek knowledge, you're going to detach from the world, you're going to detach from your own feelings, not just the feelings of others, because you're not in touch with your own feelings. You're going to try to be perceptive. You're really good at natural Socratic method. You know what that means, that Socratic method of always questioning, asking questions, to get to the truth. You're going to probably compartmentalize your life in order to protect your privacy. You're going to try to be self-sufficient and limit your dependence. You're going to conserve energy and withdraw. to refuel. You lose energy when you're out there in the world talking with people. It depletes you. It exhausts you. You have to retreat back to rest and to regroup. Paul?
Pam will tell you tales of ties. So when I go to a meeting and I have to be with people all the time, and I come home, like, you know, I'm away for 5 days, and I come home, and Pam's ready to say hello and greet me, and it's like, I just have to stop.
It's like it was a shock when I first got married. I was with the kids, you know.
Yes, and you were so ready to say, here they are.
No, I was like, oh, you're home. And he's like, I need to be quiet.
That's so funny, but it does happen.
It does happen. Yeah, there's a woman that I read about or heard about years and years ago who would need to kind of de-intensify after a day at work. And on particular days when it had been particularly hard and she just wanted alone time, and she had a bunch of kids and they would all want to, you know. She kept a pair of red shoes in the garage. And when she got out of the car, if she put her red shoes on and walked in the house, they knew, leave mommy alone. She's got her red shoes on. Don't go near her. Until she took her red shoes off, and then she was ready to deal with the world again. So maybe not a bad idea if you need privacy or you need a little time to regroup, right? Put your red shoes on. Okay, to help yourself if you're a five and you're feeling that some of this is getting in the way of your life, you can participate in body-based activities, learn to ground yourself. You can allow yourself to experience your feelings in the here and now. That's scary, so you do it a little at a time, but try to be in touch with your feelings. Notice how secrecy and intellectual superiority is creating that separation, and try to do less of that. Try to be vulnerable a little bit. Try to say, I don't know. What do you know? Can you tell me about that? I haven't heard about that, or I haven't thought about that. Ooh, that's hard for a five. Cultivate more here and now behavior, particularly allowing yourself some luxuries. Don't be quite so aesthetic in your nature. Notice how much you like control and let go of a little bit of it. Start to allow that control to drop. Find ways to engage in meaningless cocktail party conversation and express yourself. Let people know how you feel about something, not just what you think. You know, how many times do you ask somebody, what do you feel about that? And they'll tell you what they think about it, not how they're feeling. Take action. Do something. Don't just study the effects of poverty on children. Maybe go out and try to alleviate children in poverty or help a group that's trying to do that. Get involved instead of just keeping it on the head level. Get into it and see if you can make a difference. Interestingly, if you've been to church, this parable is the one from Matthew, I think. Is it Matthew's reading? Yes, but in the Gospels this morning at church.
Yes.
It's the same story with a slight difference, and I think it's from Matthew, maybe. Or Mark. It should be Mark. We're in Mark's Gospel, but I can't remember. Anyway, it's the idea that this rich man has so much, he's hoarding it in his barns, and they're not big enough, so he builds bigger barns. It's not the stuff that fives are hoarding, it's their knowledge. They got to have a bigger, bigger brain because they've got more and more stuff to keep in there and keep it from everybody else instead of letting it go and sharing it. Maybe Luke was a healthy five because he was definitely a thinker and one who wrote and thought about Jesus. He studied it. He says in the beginning of his gospel that he's really researched all this, and now, Theophilus, I'm telling you what I've learned. So he has taken knowledge and now sharing it. St. Thomas, wanting to know for himself, not taking the word of somebody else, he had to investigate and know that it was really Jesus. So maybe he was a five. Jesus, of course, is a healthy five. He values wisdom. He's often telling people to stop being so foolish. He spoke as one with authority, one with knowledge. He obviously had studied and he knew the scriptures very well, so he had spent some time learning them. And he definitely enjoyed times of solitude and getting away from the crazy crowds and regrouping himself. Five, spiritual growth might be in focusing on the incarnation. God just didn't think about helping people. He really came in body and did it in the person of Jesus Christ. So maybe we can't just think about all the things we'd like to do. Maybe we really have to get out and do it. So we move from thinking to doing, and we share ourselves, maybe at first with just a trusted few that we think we can be vulnerable with. Doesn't mean we have to be vulnerable with the world. Doesn't mean we have to let it all hang out all the time. But there should be some people that we can be our true selves with. Proverbs says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you." Sounds like a five wrote that. Being guarded by their understanding. David Deda, who's an author, an American author, and he writes a lot about intimacy, says you are either withholding your love in fear or giving your deepest gifts. At this point, my privacy needs are interfering with my intimacy goals. A five with a little conflict going on there. I could sit here all day thinking about my problems. And here are some fives, maybe. Jackie Kennedy, Bill Gates, the Buddha, Greta Garbo, Joe DiMaggio, Amelia Earhart, Albert Einstein. And the knowledgeable owl. Thoughts on that? I have two songs that I think five.
General question?
Yes.
Do you think the designers of this of the Enneagram assume that male and female will just distribute equally around mm-hmm. the pattern?
Yeah.
So there's no attention paid to perhaps different male and female responses?
No, I've never read anything that kind of emphasized one over the other. No. But that would be an interesting way to look at it and see if it does make a difference. So I don't know if this is going to play on here or not. No, it's not. Dang it. Why doesn't it stay? Why doesn't my Bluetooth stay connected, you people who know these things?
We don't know enough to.
I had it all set up before, and then it goes away.
I asked the same thing. My Wi-Fi won't stay on, and
why? Why do you go away, and now you can't find it? All right, you're going to have to listen to it from here, because we don't have time.
Yeah.
It's all right, I don't want to spend the time.
Did you go to another one on your car or something that you
want to sit? No, I just did this morning. So. A little while from now, I'm feeling any less sad. I promised myself to treat myself and visit a nearby town. Climbing to the top, throw myself up in an effort to make clear to everyone it's like when you're shattered. This is the part. Again. Naturally. But I think the definitive song is this one. You know, name that tune, right? You know the first one. Friendship causes pain, it's laughter and it's coming. Yes? Good five song?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good five song.
I'm sorry.
Are people attracted? I like that song. Are people interested in music about their time? Do they really relate to
you mean our lyrics?
The lyrics.
I think so.
I would think they would.
I think so. Yeah. I think we might tend to like certain songs that touch our our hearts. Or we might not like a song because it touches us too close, you know? That's too much like me, so I don't like that. But yeah, I think some types are probably more into music than others. Probably a 4 is going to emote more with music than maybe a 6 would. But yes, I think when lyrics speak to you, it can be a way of getting in, right? Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.